You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Trying to make sense of the world?
You've got Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach.
Call our toll-free number now.
Headlines, culture, and real conversation.
And now, our feature presentation.
Here's Pete and Greg.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. We're coming to you live. I am Greg Bach in Radio Park in Racine, all the way up the coast in Marinette, Wisconsin, a.k.a. Christmas City, USA, is Mr. Pete Schwabba. And completing the Yaderhe Triangle in Madison at HQ is Mr. Dom Lee on the ones and twos. So happy you're joining us this evening. Hope you're having a great Monday. Welcome to June. Welcome to Pride Month. Welcome to all the great things summer has in store, including a really good Brewers record right now. But we are going to be here for another hour this evening. If you missed anything from earlier, our great conversation with Yuseli Flores and finding out information on the rallies taking place around the state, you can go to civicmedia.us/shows, look for Nightlight, download episodes, and listen to them at your leisure anytime you'd like. Great shows there, including other programs here. If you missed out on your opportunity to get us the keyword for the Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multistate Contest, that's okay. We've got another chance for you in the 7 o'clock hour, so stick around for that. And if you've already entered in for the 5 o'clock hour, you can do it again. You have 7 chances a day during this contest. So keep it locked right here for the keyword coming up in just a little while. And good luck to you on that one. That is going to be a great, great contest. The daily prize is $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize package. So keep it here for those keywords, and also your chance to get an extra entry, too. So that's really great. We have a great hour for you planned ahead. We've got Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic talking about all the summer blockbuster movies, as well as, I guess, movies are back in the theaters, baby. People are going out to see films. That's great. That's great to hear. And we'd love to hear from you about your thoughts on the movies coming out this summer, maybe what you're going to go see. And that's coming up just in a little while. And yeah, it's going to be very fun. And then, of course, we wrap everything up with the nightcap where we talk about what we learned, get to some last-minute texts, and just have ourselves a good old time. Did you guys have fun in the first hour?
Go ahead, Dom. Oh,
I did. I had a lot of fun, and I had a lot of water, too. So I was hydrated, and I had fun. You can't, two things can't be true, and, well, two things were true. Yes, I had fun.
All right, okay. Yeah. Well said.
I was wondering about both of those things, Dom, that yeah. you were maintaining hydration and also, yeah.
Because sometimes I'm trying to have fun, but I'm like, oh, I'm so dehydrated. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm so hydrated, but I'm not having any fun right now.
See, that's why it was a great first hour. I had both, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
You had everything going for you.
Yeah, nothing.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, let's
it's going to be hard to top that.
I know. But Pete, what did you do? Did you have fun, stay hydrated, and what else?
I was, you know what? I've been hydrating all day, and I slow down around 5 o'clock when we hit the air. So, but I love talking to you, Sally, and it was fun talking about the contest and the question of the night. We got so much going on. It's a fun night here at Nightlight.
Absolutely. Let's keep the fun rolling now with a restatement of the question of the night.
Dom? Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is the minimum age a child should be allowed on social media? Pete, this came from you, saw a book. What was the name of the book again?
It was called The Digital Delusion by Jared Horvath, and it's very popular in schools right now. They're trying to get kids to decrease screen time in schools, and kids even like it on some level.
I mean, I think there's going to come a point where kids are going to be like, I got to put this down for a little bit. I mean, the question. And let me say this, too. I personally believe, you know, it's just my thought. I think a lot of us, adults and children, could go with putting the phone down, turning the TV off, putting the laptop down, whatever it may be. Just even sitting for a moment with your thoughts, going for a nice walk, enjoying the especially now, the nice air. So, the question tonight is, what is the minimum age a child should be allowed to be on social media? So you can get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on our live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. You can also always get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. If you're getting in touch with us for the contest, send us a text through the app. Download it today. It's absolutely free, and you need that to be part of the Accelerate Your Summer Multi-State Text to Win contest. But let us know. You can also call through the app. You can also listen live. You can also get your news. It's absolutely great. And then finally, for those who like to go the traditional route, they're, you know, the old school folks, you can always drop an email, nightlight, N-I-T-E-L-I-T-E, at civicmedia.us. Let us know how we're doing. Reread those emails, and we thank you for your input. Pete, you have kids. You have two children.
I do.
And I think they've had social media their entire lives, right?
No. My son lobbied for a phone when he was like 13. We held off, and he's very responsible, so we broke down. And when he went to high school, we got him a phone. And my daughter, probably a little younger, and they're both admittedly on their phones more than they'd like to be. But we've never had a social media issue with bullying or anything like that. We're fortunate. But we're all on our phones too much in this house, myself included. I didn't have this at all when I was younger. So I love the idea of connecting with friends from all over the country and watching funny reels. I think it's fantastic, but I do need to put it down more.
So as a parent, what do you think, and when they got a hold of their phones, it was many years ago, but today in 2026, as a parent, when do you think the age should be then?
I'm going to sound a little prudish here, maybe. I didn't know what to say because I feel like, you know, there's all these milestones, middle school, formative years. When you're a freshman in high school, you should be focused more on school. Sophomore year, you typically get your driver's license. So I said 17.
I said,
give them a year behind the wheel to get experience before they start texting and driving. I don't want it to be 16 and they're doing both at once.
Yeah, absolutely. That is not going to win you any points in the house. My goodness.
It's not, but you know what? We've got higher answers than mine. I'm kind of like at the lower end, believe it or not. So that's just my 2 cents.
Hey, well, I believe it's an important 2 cents, as of all the three of us, you're the only one with children. And I understand all the situation you're taking into account. But Dom, as somebody who's grown up with social media and you've seen the highs and lows of it, like I didn't, you know, we have social media. We don't deal with it in the same way you may have or do. You know, looking at you as where you are right now, and let's say in the next 10 years you have children, what do you think your thought would be as far as when they should be able to be on social media?
Well, I had social media, I think, freshman year of high school. And yeah, my parents decided that that was the best route to take. And I think I would have to agree. I think as soon as they get into high school, I think that's the time to explore social media. I also think it kind of depends on the social media. You know, something like YouTube is a lot different than something like TikTok.
Great point.
So that's how I would feel. I would say wait for TikTok, Instagram, stuff like that later on. YouTube, more informational things, more information gathering things can be at the start of high school. That's what I would say.
Well said.
So, there you go. That's a good thought. That's a very good thought. What do we have on the text line for the question?
Whoa, Greg.
What now?
Greg. You can answer the question.
Yeah. Thank you.
We got
thank you
very much. You're welcome.
I would kind of go a little bit of column A, column B with what you guys are saying. So I think what I would do is, if I had children, I think that they would get social media when needed. So if they were, I guess what I would do is, like, I would have a family account, if you will. Like, if there's YouTube, there'd be a family account. You can access the family YouTube account. You know, if they need Facebook for whatever reason, I don't think, like, young people need Facebook, Dominic, right? Like, that's not.
No, not right. Yeah, not really.
I mean, I think that if we're talking about Snapchat and TikTok and Instagram, I would probably wait until they were 16 or so, and I would probably catch a lot of guff for it, but whatever. But as far as like YouTube is, I would say, all right, we'd have a family account. You can access it there, and that way we know what you're watching and what you're not watching and that kind of thing. But there'd be a lot of discussions too. And I think I would go also along the same route, Pete, as you, is whereas I'd look at my kid. If my kid is like, I don't want to say a good kid, but like, they're showing responsibility. They're showing that this is a privilege and not a right. Then you have that deeper conversation. But I would start with YouTube, because that's just everywhere. Yep. I mean, that's ubiquitous. You can't get away from it. But as far as those other ones, yeah, probably not until older, 16, if not maybe even a little bit older. And be like, hey, when you're 18, you can have your own account, do your thing. Right. But right now, no, thank you. Let's when you're in your 20s and 30s.
Let's lower the drinking age to 18 and raise the social media age so you can have a beer and kick back with your Snapchat. Look at me solving problems left and right.
I know. Schwabba 28. Schwabba Lee 28. I would vote for that. He's a funny guy. He writes jokes that John Oliver steals. That's just a joke. I'm not accusing
him. Blatant ripoff.
But what did we hear from the people on the text line there, Dom?
Man, we got a few. We got Robert listening in on WLCX says, question, every child is different. Engaged parents know their children at best. Very true. Agree, however, that some adults should never be licensed to drive. Can anybody fix stupid? Okay.
That's a whole bunch of information there, buddy. I think good point, no, and no.
One for three, Robert. For
there we go. What else do we have on the text line there?
Yeah, we got Melissa from Willie Street texting in and says, John and I didn't let our daughter go, I guess, on social media until she was 12. She's always been mature for her age, so it felt okay. Let's just say somehow she turned out way better than her parents. Smiley face.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. I mean, Melissa, we understand but I mean, John, questionable. But yeah, Melissa,
John, I can believe.
Yeah,
but Melissa, come on. She's a good one.
Any others there, bud?
Yeah, we got a few more. I think we got a few more. We got Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, silly text alert. Plug those kids in prenatal so they may know their place with the Borg. Resistance is futile. Live long and process data. Okay.
All right. Tyler. Cool. You love Star Trek there, Ty. That's
Oh, man. But yeah, I think that's it.
Cool. Do we have any thoughts on the Facebook?
Yeah, we got a few. Dale Jackson just chimed in and said apparently 80. So seems extreme. I don't know.
I mean,
average ages for
how old are your parents then?
Mike Desitel says a lot depends on maturity and or how closely parents monitor their child's activity. He says 15. Hey Pete, big happy anniversary to your folks. Mike also says thank you, Mike. He's a friend of mine. Happy anniversary, Tom and Amy, the big 6-0. Our pal Victoria Davis says 30. Victoria writes great columns for the Capital Times. We should have her on. And she's kind of put like a laughy emoji, but she could be serious. Tim Joy says 100. Dan Thine says 18. Sean Boyce, 36. Amanda Nimmer, our pal, says 13. That's the age I lied and said I was when I got my first ever Hotmail account that I still use to this day.
Oh, boy.
That's awesome. Daniel Wheeler says it really depends on when you want that child to learn. The world is a soul-crushing disappointment. Thank you, Danny Wheels. That's awesome. We got a few more, too, but we can get to those later.
Absolutely. And I saw one more come in from Melissa on Willie Street there. Dom, do you want to read that one?
Yeah. She said, we gave her access for playing games and Roblox. It was huge for her. And Insta, Snap, and TikTok weren't around yet. So.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And what's funny is that now I'm hearing, and tell me if I'm wrong, Dom, like Facebook is for the olds. But I've even heard some younger people say things like Snapchat. No, it's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, Snapchat is, I think, for the young, and Facebook is for the old. Because I'm just now getting into Facebook, but Snapchat I've had for a decade. So,
yeah. But kids don't even like. You'll be getting your back pain pills in the mail very soon.
The Dones pills are on the way.
I was going to make a Dones reference, but I didn't know if anyone else was going to say it. All right, folks, when we come back from the break, we are going to be talking to our buddy Matt Miller. He returns to the show to talk all things summer blockbusters, and the movies are back, so don't go anywhere, friends. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch, 855-752-4842. Yes, 4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on our live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still ahead, we were going to wrap everything up with the nightcap where we talk about what we learned, get to your messages and texts on the question of the night, what is the minimum age a child should be allowed on social media, and so much more. So stick around. We're going to have a great time. And don't forget, in the 7 o'clock hour, you will have your final ability to enter in a keyword for the day. We still have this contest goes through the end of next week. So you'll have 7 chances a day, but 7 o'clock will be the last one for today in our Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest, where you could win $1 and a Wisconsin Dells prize pack. So keep it locked right here for that keyword coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. But right now, we are going to welcome back our next guest. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic. You can check out his reviews and his thoughts on his Substack, A Man About Film. Please welcome Mr. Matt Miller. Hello, Matt. Welcome. Rephrase that. Welcome back, Big Papa.
Oh, that's a weird thing to hear. No one's ever called me that.
Sounded like a weird thing to say. I got to be honest.
I mean, I got a note in your eyes. I love it when they call me a Big Papa. So
that is my quote. Yes.
I just follow what people tell me to do. So
Michael Scott style. I love it when you call me Big Papa, Matt Miller.
You don't look sleep deprived at all, Matt.
I am knocking on all the wood in this room right now. We have found something resembling a level of normalcy, but nice. as any good parent knows, that can change in a matter of moments. The good news about parenting is that everything is a phase, and the bad news about parenting is that everything is a phase. Yeah. So I'm enjoying a little bit of sleep. I've also been training for this my entire life. I've been going to bed at stupid hours my entire life.
Oh, I thought you meant like you were holding babies in public and like running up and down with them on a bjorn or like speed diaper changing or something like that.
Dodging Nerf sprays of water for training for this moment. But no, sleep depravity, that is what I've been training for. So getting only 3 or 4 hours of sleep in a night. That's standard for me.
Wow, good
well,
for you, man.
We're gonna ask you. I mean, you literally have your dad hat on. I won't ask you to literally take it off. But we're gonna put on the film hat right now, and we're gonna talk some movies with you because that is what you do. You have your own Substack, A Man About Film. You can also follow Matt on social media when it comes to this stuff. And let's just kick it off real simple. Summer is here, which means summer blockbusters.
Yeah, and what a strange, beautiful summer it's been so far in terms of the movies. This past weekend, maybe the strangest summer box office weekend, besides not including 2020 when the summer box office was like, a movie made $700,000 this weekend. A blockbuster.
Yeah. Who went to go see that? We should be indoors, not there.
The drive-ins are back. But, you know, you have the second weekend of a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Falling behind a $10 million horror movie made by a YouTuber, and behind the third weekend of a $1 million horror movie also made by a acclaimed YouTuber. And I'm not going to say this is like a tide shift. I'm not going to say like, I saw some people being like, IP is over. Rest in peace, IP. And it's like the number one movie of the year is still the Super Mario Galaxy movie. Like, let's pump our brakes here.
Yeah.
But there does seem to be a move where Hollywood is starting to realize there is a young generation of people who love to go to the movies, and they want movies directed at them. They want movies about things that they are interested in. They don't want hand-me-down franchises. They don't want, you know, reboots of things that they weren't even alive for. They want movies that that exist to them, that are that pertain to their interests. And Hollywood now is like, oh, I guess maybe we should do that more often.
Matt, that's a great point. And to me, it's a godsend because we've been hearing for years how, oh, kids don't want to watch movies. They're social media. They got their face in their phone. Well, as it turns out, if you're smart about it, you can start something on social media and bring it to the big screen. Like, you're right, Obsession, it's third week of release. It jumps over the old tired Star Wars franchise that I've been reading about with all these reviewers. It took second place. Star Wars Mandalorian and Grogu is only in its second week, and Obsession jumped it. Like, this is fantastic. And everybody is saying that the box office is back since pre-COVID days. It's a mirror. I love it.
Yeah, this is, if last I checked the numbers, this year's box office up to this point, year to date, is the highest since COVID. And that is without the power of a Marvel movie. That is without the power of a fully operational Star Wars movie. You know, it's been fueled by the likes of The Devil Wears Prada 2. It's been fueled by the likes of, you know, Backrooms and Obsession.
Hail Mary,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, I know people are like, oh, a sequel in Devil Wears Prada 2, but it's a comedy. And for several years, we've been really having a hard time getting people showing up to comedies and theaters. And yes, it's a sequel, but it is Hollywood being like, why don't we make a sequel to a movie people like? And so, which is a crazy concept in Hollywood. And again, I don't think this is the end of franchises. I mean, Toy Story 5 is about to make a ton of money. Supergirl, I'm sure, will do fine at the box office. You know, I think this was a bad Star Wars play to take a series that had kind of worn out its welcome even on the small screen and try to graduate it to a blockbuster on the big screen. But the goal is not to eradicate franchises. The goal is to get diversity of movies back in theaters. And you're seeing that now. You're seeing, you know, franchise movies like the Super Mario next to an original animated movie like Hoppers, next to an original horror movie like Backrooms, next to a comedy sequel like The Devil Wears Prada. Yeah. And this is optimistic. And people are showing up for these things. That is the exciting part. There were years where they made this stuff and people didn't show up, and now they're figuring out. The Sheep Detectives, not a huge blockbuster, but it is getting repeat viewing. That's what I love to see. And that movie's incredible, by the way.
We are going to keep this conversation going on the other side of the news break. Don't go anywhere. We are talking about summer blockbusters here with Matt Miller. You can catch him on A Man About Film on Substack. This conversation, we'd love to hear from you, please. Let us know your thoughts on movies this summer on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Network. You can always get in touch, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on that live stream. We're currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Tomorrow's show, we will be talking to Nicholas DeGroot, the founder of Ground Floor Democracy, and talking about the organization and talking politics in the park. And then Jason Mansmith is the marketing director of Thrasher Opera House, discussing their upcoming events over the summer. So join us for that. And don't forget, we close everything out with the nightcap in just a little while, so stick around and we're going to have some fun. We are currently talking to our second guest of the evening, Mr. Matt Miller. He is a film critic from Milwaukee. You can check out Substack. Go to A Man About Film, see his thoughts on movies of young and old and all sorts of things, opinions he has. Follow him on social media. And before we went to the break, we were talking about the studios figuring out the secret sauce to success in the actual theater. Not streaming, not rentals, nothing like that. The actual movie theater where you drive to buy overpriced popcorn. But Matt, something you said that's interesting regarding The Devil Wears Prada 2 is, when it comes to like those movies that have been gone for 10, 15, 20 years, even longer, I think that The Devil Wears Prada 2 cast and crew, and I think the Spaceballs sequel is doing the same thing, whereas they are building anticipation like a year plus out. They are bringing people to the table to give folks the time to either rewatch it, watch it for the first time, and really get themselves into a place of being excited. And I think, and I mean, I don't work in the film industry. I'm not a film critic. But to me, that's the smartest thing when it comes to the legacy problem, because I feel like a lot of studios are saying, well, let's just remake this movie, or let's just do a sequel 35 years later with the cast and it'll be great. And then it fails because no one really cares. But I think that The Devil Wears Prada 2 said, well, let's tell everybody a year ago we're making this movie for 2026. And they built that excitement. I think that's a responsibility upon the studio and the cast.
Yeah, I think there's two things there. First of all, like, there was that era where any superhero, any IP could get intellectual property, could get decent box office. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, Transformers movies, even though everyone was like, the Transformers movies stink, were highest grossing movies of those years. You know, Aquaman becomes a $1 billion movie. One of the goofiest heroes we've got, you know, of the mainstream heroes, and that makes $1 billion. And now audiences are a little bit more choosy and they want to see stuff that feels like events. And to your second point, I know a lot of people dragged, you know, Barbie for the, how elaborate and how much their marketing campaign was like just going extra, and like Wicked, how much Wicked was everywhere. Yeah, that's what you kind of have to do with some of these giant movies, is just force awareness down people's throats in a lot of cases, where it's like, listen, a year in advance, this is the day. Get excited for this day. Oppenheimer had to do the same thing. Because there's just so many more options now. There's just so much competing for people's interests. So you kind of have to make yourself an event if you're one of those movies. I think you see that something like Backrooms, when the buzz gets big, that rolls downhill and just collects and collects and collects. And that's how you end up with a $10 million movie making $80 million in its opening weekend. How you get Obsession making more in its third weekend than its opening weekend for a horror movie, which is nuts. Mm-hmm. But then you look at the opposite side and Mortal Kombat 2 comes out. Everyone's like, it's fine, but that's the worst thing in the world. That thing has no buzz and it just falls off the earth. There is no audience of like, oh, let's just check it out. Let's just see a movie to see a movie. They're done with that movie. They'll watch that at home when it comes out. And Mandalorian and Grogu kind of became that, where after its first weekend, everyone was like, I haven't heard it's great. I'll wait. I don't need to see that. And it just goes through the floor now. So there's kind of no middle class of movie. There used to be movies that could like kind of have a mediocre opening and then kind of lag out because there would be an audience who'd be like, it's Wednesday night. Let's go see a movie. Now audiences are like, it's Wednesday night. I can stream something. I can go to a park. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, hang out on YouTube. They have more options. So being a mediocrity is no longer enough. You have to be something that people are excited about.
That's Matt Miller. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic who joins us here periodically on Nightlight to talk movies. Matt, it's interesting what you were saying. I'm all for less sequels, less franchise films. Still make them. Some of them are great, but more Backrooms, more Obsession. I haven't even seen either one of these movies, but I look at the critics, I look at the box office, and Dom is a perfect demographic for this. 22. He's already seen both films because of YouTube. So what did you think of the actual movies?
I like them both. I think they're both really interesting. They're definitely flawed. They're definitely movies you can tell are by first-time feature film writer directors, especially on the screenplay side of things. I think Obsession kind of loses itself a little bit in the third act, and I think Backrooms does better when it's about the creepy eeriness of the rooms and less when it's about kind of psychology. You can kind of tell it's a 20-year-old putting on a psychologist hat in some cases. But the vibes of those movies and the direction, the craft involved, these guys have the juice. Curry Barker and Kane Parsons, these guys are genuinely interesting directors doing really interesting stuff. Backrooms has this strange, unnerving sense of horror. If you're not a gory horror movie person or a jump scare person, Backrooms is your kind of horror movie. It's more just kind of unnerving. Hmm. And Obsession has this interesting tonal thing where it's a really funny movie for a horror movie. It's got a dark comedic streak to it, a black comedy vibe. And then all of a sudden something horrific happens. And that's a tricky tone to pull off in this kind of day and age, a kind of horror, not comedy per se, but a horror movie with a wicked sense of humor. These are not Saw movies. These are not dumb.
Thank God.
These are not the Terrifier movies where it's just all about how much gore you can put on screen. There's real craft and smarts going on here. And I'm really interested to see what they do next. If this is their starting point for big Hollywood movies, this is really cool.
Love it.
Well, and you know, I'll just make a comment about that. That's where I almost, because I get a little nervous for these filmmakers, because what happens is when their movies take off like this, then Hollywood comes a knocking and say, hey, do you want to direct the fourth Ant-Man movie?
And
so the decision, I think, for them is like, do you stick to your own craft? Do you stick to your own vision? Or do you take that step out and say, all right, I'll do kind of a one for me, one for them, one for me, one for them. It'll be interesting to see where they go next. But what I wanted to ask you about, you know, and we touched on it briefly here during this conversation, and I mentioned it before we got on air, is, you know, before recently, no one cared about the, quote, second week drop-off. Now it's headlines in my notifications, specifically Mandalorian Grogu, which I agree. I don't think they should have made. If they were going to make this movie, it should have been after the second season, not after what was a third season that it came with. Also, you had to watch a different show to get the third season. But does this, I mean,
Of course, box office matters. I'm not saying it doesn't. But nowadays, it used to be the movie came out to plug people buying the DVD. Well, now, folks, I don't need to go see The Mandalorian Grogu. I can go watch it on Disney Plus. The numbers that these movies make now on streaming are really never talked about unless it's some like, hey, this movie with Hugh Jackman from 1995 is killing it on Hulu. But that's the thing is these movies have huge lives after the box office. But we still think in terms of, well, it didn't do well in the box office, so it must be terrible. It must be a failure. Forget it. But then you discover it 3 years later. But I guess for me, it's like, why do we now all of a sudden care about the second week drop off? Is it just for notifications and clickbait?
I think it's you know, we've learned, it's kind of like how the food, like people know a lot more about cooking stuff now. So like if you watched the Food Network 20 years ago, it would feel so pedestrian. They'd be like, we're making cacio e pepe. And you'd be like, oh yeah, everyone knows how to make that now. Like 20 years ago, people are more in tune to the box office now. Talking about second weekend drops is not something I would have thought I would have been doing 10 years ago, because who cares on some level? But, you know, the fact that it's a Star Wars movie means that a lot of people care. And so you have that kind of aspect to all of that. I do think, you know, you're right about the streaming thing, that these things do have second lives elsewhere. The problem is, they have second lives that don't make money elsewhere. You know, you can have a big hit on Netflix. You know, it can be a flop that hits Netflix and is the number one movie there for a week. You're not making ticket money off of that. You're just making a flat, you know, fee off of that. You're just making, you know, a little bit of a, you know, you're not making money off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you're seeing these studios really shy away from streaming movies in that regard now. Disney doesn't do a lot of direct to Disney Plus stuff now. A lot of the only really Netflix is doing that hardcore these days, and they're trying to retrain people how to go see movies in theaters. And think about that. There was a lot, I think I had seen a headline that Obsession was going to go to digital rental this weekend. That they were going to put it on there for like a $20, $30, you know, charge. Why would you do that? It's making more money weekend after weekend. Why would you cut into that for and put it, you know, out there for people to pirate and for people to start getting that for free elsewhere? You know, Hollywood's kind of starting to relearn the lessons of how things work. And you're back in the day, yeah, you're right. People could make money off of the DVD rights and the cable rights. And now a lot of those have gone away. You're not making the money off the DVD anymore. It's box office and theaters and then, you know, plane rights and a little bit of cable rights. And then you're streaming and you're not really making much money off of streaming. So maybe that's why there's so much more focus on the box office in terms of like that is the key moneymaker now.
Matt, we have a couple more minutes left. I wanted to ask you, what are you most – well, a couple things. You said Mario is the number one movie so far this year, approaching $1 billion if it hasn't already hit it. And Michael is right behind it. Talk about having legs, a movie about Michael Jackson should. Will that surpass Mario? And what are you most looking forward to this summer in terms of movies?
It's probably not going to surpass Super Mario, but it is, you know, it's making the kind of Bohemian Rhapsody money I thought it would. And it's also a sub Bohemian Rhapsody quality movie. So that's a shame. but
dang.
I'm sorry. It's not a good movie. It's not good. It doesn't even play the hits well, Michael. Really? But, you know, happy to see it's making money, you know, happy to see people going to movies.
Thank goodness. Cause he needed it. Whew.
I know. Thank God we wonder why that movie cuts off in the 90s. Weird. But anyways, what I hope people check out is The Sheep Detectives right now in theaters, which sounds like a parody movie when I say it out loud. It is a movie about talking sheep trying to solve Hugh Jackman's murder. It is one of the best movies you'll see this year. If you like stuff like Babe and Paddington and Knives Out, The Sheep Detectives is shockingly a great combination of all of those things. I cried multiple times, and it wasn't just because of new dad feelings, you know? It's a genuinely really lovely, thoughtful, fun movie. And I'm really excited about the new Spielberg. I was a little concerned about how it was going to do in theaters and tweeted about that. And people are like, wow, slagging on, you know, Steven Spielberg. And it's like, no, I'm really excited about him doing a sci-fi movie and him doing a movie with Josh O'Connor, who was so good in Wake Up Dead Man. I think that sounds really exciting to me. And I wish I was more excited for Supergirl. It's directed by Craig Gillespie, who's made a lot of movies I really don't like. And I wish James Gunn had stuck around and done the Supergirl movie, or better yet, gotten a female director to direct the Supergirl movie. What a concept. But I think I would like to see that too as well. Those are ones that I'm looking forward to this year. And of course, Jackass, Best for Last, I believe it's called.
I thought you were going to say The Odyssey. You said Jackass.
I mean, obviously The Odyssey is number one, but come on, you got to see the Odyssey, the original Jackass in its way.
Johnny Knoxville is our generation's Odysseus. I will say that right now.
And that's not wrong. And I'm going to write 1,000 words on that now.
Please. Wonderful. Matt Miller has been our guest. Thank you so much. Check him out on Substack, A Man About Film. I'm sure he will be back sooner than later talking more about this summer films. Matt, congratulations on the new baby. Congratulations all around. Love having you here. Thanks a lot. Have a great night, friend.
Thanks for having me, and see you at the movies, y'all.
All right, Nightcap coming up next. Nightlight with Pete and Greg. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Time to wind it down. Let's take a moment to look back and ask, what did we learn today? This is Nightcap with Greg and Pete.
Welcome back to Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Network. Get in touch with us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. Currently streaming on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. You can also get in touch with us via the free Civic Media app, which you will need for the Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win contest. We'll talk more about that in a moment, but we are officially in the nightcap. Let's get to the last-minute comments on the live stream, as well as the text line regarding the question of the evening, which is, what is the minimum age a child should be allowed to be on social media? Dom, I feel like we have some more text messages that came through in the past few minutes. What do we got?
Yes, we got a few. We got Nick from texting on WMDX says, I was about 17 when social media started taking off, and I don't think kids should be younger to use it, but I think 16 16 at the youngest. Might seem a little too young to some people, but if teens don't have access to social media, then they will probably find even more stupid things to do that could be far much more damaging.
Okay. All right. What else we got there? We got a couple more.
Yeah, we got a couple more. We got John texting in on WMDX as well. Says, for the tubes access, I think establishing a national age of 16 would be a great start. It's controversial enough to stir a nationwide conversation, and more thought will have to go into it. Go into the amended age rules after some anger and debate, et cetera, et cetera. Very true. And the tubes can be a dangerous place. More parents will wake up if they pass a national law. Let's wake them up and get them talking about it.
Wow. I know that Australia passed a law, I think it was 16, maybe even 18, but even people in Australia are like, yeah, good luck enforcing that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you shouldn't, I'm not saying you shouldn't entertain idea of, you know, a national law. I'm just saying that would be a very difficult thing to do. But understood. What else do we have left on the Facebook page there, Mr. Schwab?
Facebook page on social media, which you have to be 17, in my opinion, but I'm kind of with Nick there. But Robert says, guns, beer, social media, depends on the brain. I'm still not old enough. Bob Bro, the opera singer, who's been on this show, is a diligent social media. His responses, I don't know how he finds the time. They're thoughtful. They're long. Yeah. It's insanity. I just can't do that, but he's so good at it. Austin Galante on Facebook, the filmmaker, says 16 at the youngest. I would probably be okay with 18. Thank you, Austin. Good to hear from you. Yeah. Jacob says, never. Social media is a plague. Okay. Pretty decisive, guys. Jeff Schmidt says 25. Thank you, Jeff. And Andrew Brown, 37. I guess Andrew's maybe 37.
And, no, he's not. He's in his mid-40s.
Okay. And finally, Caroline Thompson says 18. That's a good age. Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome responses, Facebook. Thank you.
I got a couple on my Facebook page as well. And by the way, folks, you can always follow us on social media. We are on Facebook. Yeah. Just search Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. We are also on Instagram, and you can follow Civic Media on social media as well. You know, you can, if you don't know that already, get on board. Come aboard. We'd love to have you part of the conversation. But on mine, Denisha says, I think 15, but it's still a scary place at any age. Silas says 16. Joe says 90. R. Michael Gull says 16. And then this one I wanted to leave to last. This is my buddy Phil. He says, struggling with this. Both of our daughters are in sports where having an Instagram could be a big benefit as they hit high school and compete at events that might feature them. College and universities might also be looking for information on social media during recruitment or admission processes. But we are so against social media in high school because of how it impacted our nephew. And it was a huge reason as why he did what he did. I know we'll still need to drive in somehow, but we're not there yet. Their nephew, I will say it, took their own life because of bullying. That's a lot to take in as far as the opinion, but it makes sense, especially when it comes. That's why, Pete, I wanted to hear from you specifically, because you're a parent, and I don't know how you juggle that world of like your kids saying, please, please, please. But you're also like, I want to keep you safe.
Yeah, it's not easy. And because you see their friends on it and there's peer pressure, mm-hmm. and will they get teased if they don't have social media? It's a balancing act. And, all you can do is stay on it and keep having a dialogue about it. And it's different for everybody. But if you're on top of it, that's a win, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't forget, folks, tomorrow we'll be talking to Nicholas DeGroote, the founder of Ground Floor Democracy and their organization, and talking about politics in the park, as well as a conversation with Jason Mansmith, the marketing director of the Thrasher Opera House, discussing their upcoming events. And stay tuned here, because in the 7 o'clock hour, you will get your final keyword of the day for the Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Make sure you have that Civic Media app. Text in the keyword, and then we start the whole thing over tomorrow again. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It's your chance to win $100 and a Wisconsin Dells prize pack, as well as being entered into a grand prize drawing for $250 in gas and $250 in groceries. So be a part of it. Get that app, enter, and good luck. Guys, Pete, what did you learn tonight?
I learned that John Oliver is a thief. No, I...
Oh.
I learned that... it's just good to be back in the air with you guys. I've said this periodically. I like weekends. I don't love weekends. I like being able to do this.
Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you very much, friend. Nice. Dom, what about you?
I learned that YouTubers are the new directors now. You know, they're coming in, they're showing up, and they're really making moves in the cinema. So
the industry. Nice. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Greg,
wonderful.
What about you?
What about you, Greg?
I learned that it's important to let the citizens and let independent people decide how our maps are drawn, because the people need to be heard, and you can't be heard when our politicians don't have to listen to the folks who give them their jobs in the first place. So IRCs are the way to go, in my opinion, and that is a bipartisan statement. I do not say that as a Democrat or Republican. I'm saying that for the people. IRCs are the way to go. Folks, we got to get on out of here. So as always, let's start off the thank yous with a thank you to Dominic, to Tucker, to engineering and traffic for all the work they do. They make sure these microphones are turned on. To everyone who called, texted, we thank you so much. You are the reason why we are here. Thank you so much to Yuseli Flores and Matt Miller for being our guests this evening. We're going to have a lot more fun tomorrow with more chances to enter into the Accelerate Your Summer Text to Win Multi-State Contest. So come on back tomorrow, but stick around for that keyword coming up in just a few moments. It's going to be right here on Civic Media. You are listening and or watching Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach. Pete, say goodnight to the people.
Good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.